CD 8.
It was a wet and blustery Saturday afternoon, and Madame Tracy was feeling very occult. She had her flowing dress on and a saucepan full of sprouts on a stove. The room was lit by candlelight, each candle carefully placed in a wax-encrusted wine bottle at the four corners of her sitting room. There were three other people at her sitting: Mrs. Ormerod from Belsize Park, in a dark green hat that might have been a flower pot in a previous life; Mr. Scroggy, thin and pallid, with bulging, colourless eyes; and Julia Petley from Hair to Day. Formerly a cut above the rest, formerly main attraction, formerly curl up and die, formerly a snip at the price, formerly Mr. Bryan's art de coiffeur, formerly Robinson the barber's, formerly phone a car taxis. The hairdressers on the high street, fresh out of school and convinced that she herself had unplumbed occult depths. In order to enhance the occult aspects of herself, Julia had begun to wear far too much hand-beaten silver jewellery and green eyeshadow. She felt she looked haunted and gaunt and romantic, and she would have if she had lost another £30. She was convinced that she was anorexic, because every time she looked in the mirror, she did indeed see a fat person.
"Can you link hands?" said Madame Tracy. "And we must have complete silence. The spirit world is very sensitive to vibration."
"Ask if my Ronnie's there," said Mrs. Ormerod. She had a jaw like a brick.
"I will, love, but you've got to be quiet while I make contact."
There was silence, broken only by Mr. Scroggy's stomach rumbling.
"Pardon, ladies," he said.
Madame Tracy had found, through years of drawing aside the veil and exploring the mysteries, that 2 minutes was the right length of time to sit in silence, waiting for the spirit world to make contact. More than that, and they got restive. Less than that, and they felt they weren't getting their money's worth. She did her shopping list in her head. Eggs, lettuce, ounce of cooking cheese, 4 tomatoes, butter, roll of toilet paper. Mustn't forget that, we're nearly out. And a really nice piece of liver for Mr. Shadwell. Poor old soul, it's a shame. Time. Madame Tracy threw back her head, let it loll on one shoulder, then slowly lifted it again. Her eyes were almost shut.
"She's going under now, dear," she heard Mrs. Ormerod whisper to Julia Petley. "Nothing to be alarmed about. She's just making herself a bridge to the other side. Her spirit guide will be along soon."
Madame Tracy found herself rather irritated at being upstaged, and she let out a low moan.
"Oh."
Then, in a high-pitched, quavery voice,
"Are you there, my spirit guide?"
She waited a little to build up the suspense, washing up liquids, 2 cans of baked beans, oh, and potatoes.
"How?"
she said, in a dark brown voice.
"Is that you, Geronimo?" she asked herself.
"Is me, how?" she replied.
"We have a new member of the circle with us this afternoon," she said.
"How, Miss Petley?"
she said, as Geronimo. She had always understood that Red Indian spirit guides were an essential prop, and she rather liked the name. She explained this to Newt. She didn't know anything about Geronimo, he realised, and he didn't have the heart to tell her.
"Oh," squeaked Julia. "Charmed to make your acquaintance."
"Is my Ron there, Geronimo?" asked Mrs. Ormerod. "How, Squaw Beryl?" said Madame Tracy. "Oh, there are so many of the poor lost souls lined up against door to my teepee. Perhaps your Ron is amongst them. How?"
Madame Tracy had learned her lesson years earlier and now never brought Ron through until near the end. If she didn't, Beryl Ormerod would occupy the rest of the seance telling the late Ron Ormerod everything that had happened to her since their last little chat.
"Now, Ron, you remember our Eric's little Sibylla? Well, you wouldn't recognise her now. She's taken up macrame. And our Letitia, you know, our Karen's oldest, she's become a lesbian, but that's all right these days, and is doing a dissertation on the films of Sergio Leone, as seen from a feminist perspective. And our Stan, you know, our Sandra's twin, I told you about him last time, well, he won the darts tournament, which is nice, because we all thought he was a bit of a mother's boy, while the guttering over the shed's come loose. But I spoke to our Cindy's latest, who's a jobbing builder, and he'll be able to see it on Sunday. And, oh, that reminds me..."
"No, Beryl Ormerod can wait." There was a flash of lightning, followed almost immediately by a rumble of distant thunder. Madame Tracy felt rather proud, as if she'd done it herself. It was even better than the candles at creating ambulance. Ambulance was what mediuming was all about.
"Now," said Madame Tracy in her own voice, "Mr. Geronimo would like to know, is there anyone named Mr. Scroggy here?"
Scroggy's watery eyes gleamed.
Actually, that's my name," he said, hopefully.
"Right, well, there's somebody here for you." Mr. Scroggy had been coming for a month now, and she hadn't been able to think of a message for him. His time had come.
"Do you know anyone named, John?
No.